Every day, we face a dizzying array of choices, from what to eat for breakfast to which career path to follow. But have you ever stopped to consider how you make these decisions? Not just what you choose, but how you choose to choose. This hidden layer of decision-making, what Harvard Law professor Cass Sunstein calls second-order decisions, shapes our lives in profound ways we rarely notice. Imagine two people facing the same dilemma. One agonizes for days weighing every option, while another quickly delegates the choice to a trusted friend. Same decision point, entirely different approaches, with dramatically different psychological costs and outcomes. These meta-decisions aren't just personal quirks, they're sophisticated strategies for navigating life's complexity. When Barack Obama was president, he famously limited his wardrobe choices to reduce decision fatigue. Warren Buffett relies on simple investment rules rather than analyzing every potential stock. These aren't just habits, they're deliberate second-order decisions that free up mental bandwidth for what truly matters. Understanding this hidden architecture of choice isn't just intellectually fascinating. It's the difference between a life of constant anxiety and one of purposeful direction. We rarely make decisions from scratch, instead developing simplifying strategies. Rules represent the most rigid approach. Never eat dessert on weekdays, or always save 15% of income. While rules provide simplicity, they sometimes create absurd outcomes when rigidly applied. Presumptions offer more flexibility as rebuttable guidelines that allow exceptions, like presuming against weekend work unless facing emergencies. Standards provide even greater flexibility through evaluative principles rather than specific instructions, comparing 55 miles per hour, rule, to prohibiting excessive speed, standard. Other strategies include routines for recurring decisions, small steps for maintaining reversibility amid uncertainty, picking, random selection without deliberation, delegation to others with expertise, and heuristics that bypass detailed analysis. Every decision strategy balances decision costs, burdens of making choices, against error costs, consequences of wrong choices. For important purchases, we accept high decision costs to minimize errors while using simpler approaches for trivial choices. Organizations face similar trade-offs. The FDA's rigid drug approval process accepts that beneficial drugs might be delayed to avoid case-by-case analysis. These strategies distribute burdens differently across time, with rules requiring substantial thought upfront but little on-the-spot deliberation. The optimal strategy depends on context. Rules work best for numerous similar decisions, picking for low-stakes choices, and delegation when others have greater expertise. Delegation presents a paradox. We gain freedom by surrendering control. People delegate when they dislike certain decisions, doubt their abilities, or avoid responsibility. In daily life, we constantly engage in informal delegation. Spouses deciding dinner, friends selecting restaurants, colleagues determining meeting times. These arrangements work best when decision burdens are high for the delegator but low for the delegee. Telling a friend, "You choose where we eat," strategically avoids mental taxation. Government itself represents delegated authority from citizens. The Federal Reserve's independence shows how delegation can insulate necessary but unpopular decisions from political pressure. However, delegation isn't always optimal. It can become an abdication of responsibility, create unfairness, or generate errors. Some decisions don't just change what we have, they change who we are. These transformative choices, having children, changing careers, relocating, create a unique challenge. How do you evaluate options when you'll be fundamentally altered by the choice? Someone deciding whether to have children can't know what it's like to experience parental love and responsibility. The transformation affects core values, preferences, and identity. Research suggests people report greater satisfaction after making major life changes than when maintaining the status quo. When facing transformative decisions, consider what you're ultimately seeking. Happiness, immediate pleasure, eudaimonia, meaning and flourishing, or psychological richness, diverse, perspective-altering experiences. We typically assume more information is better, but this isn't always true. Sometimes we lack motivation to know, and sometimes we actively avoid information. Deliberately avoiding checking your bank balance after an expensive weekend or asking friends not to reveal a game score aren't irrational. They're sophisticated information management strategies. People generally want information for its instrumental value, enabling better decisions, or affective value, producing positive feelings. However, much information lacks practical utility while inducing negative feelings. Terminal diagnoses, bad test results, or unethical practices behind products you enjoy. Information can even have negative instrumental value when knowledge hurts performance. Defense lawyers might better represent clients without knowing their guilt. Athletes might perform better without knowing how heavily favored their opponents are. Research shows people will pay modest amounts for practical information, like calorie counts, $15 median, but substantial sums for existential knowledge, like whether heaven exists, $200 median. For consumer information, despite its usefulness, many remain disinterested. Only 62% want to know credit card late payment fees, and 67% want tire safety ratings. The human condition often presents cases where information is useful but unpleasant. People's decisions resemble high-stakes poker. Optimists seek potentially devastating information, while those averse to short-term losses might avoid information that could save their lives, a troubling paradox for human decision-making. Decisions exist within social contexts rather than as purely individual acts. Consumption patterns reflect social impulses as consumers seek belonging through their choices. Goods can be categorized by their relationship to others' consumption. Solitary goods, like morning coffee, have value independent of others' choices. Social goods derive value from others' consumption and include two types. Solidarity goods increase in value when widely shared, popular media, while exclusivity goods decrease in value with widespread use, limited edition art. This social dimension extends to belief formation. Climate change research reveals three patterns. Strong believers update views more when receiving bad news than good news. Climate skeptics do the opposite. Those with moderate initial beliefs update equally regardless of news type. These patterns explain why new information often increases polarization. On contentious topics, people's responses to information align with their existing beliefs and social identities, with most concerned individuals revising estimates upward with bad news, while the least concerned revise downward with good news. Understanding the architecture of our decisions empowers us to reshape them. By becoming conscious of our second-order strategies, we can make deliberate choices about how we choose. Are you defaulting to case-by-case analysis when simple rules would work better? Clinging to control when delegation would free your mind? Seeking information that ultimately harms rather than helps? The key insight is that there's no universal best approach to decision-making. Different contexts demand different strategies. Rules provide consistency but sacrifice flexibility. Delegation leverages others' expertise but surrenders control. Small steps reduce risk but delay progress. The art lies in matching the strategy to the situation and adjusting when circumstances change. In a world of endless choices, how we choose may be the most important choice of all. By consciously designing our decision architecture, we can reduce cognitive burden, minimize regret, and create space for what truly matters. Consider not just what you'll choose, but how you'll choose to choose. That meta-decision might make all the difference between decision fatigue and purposeful direction.